I come from a quite traditional religious family, so religion and prayer was part of my life from the very beginning. And so was also a social commitment and work with poor people or people at the margins of society. And this part of my life became more and more important as I was growing up. And I was lucky enough to find a group of people, young people like me, who were growing in the same direction. At the beginning, I have to say that my direction was much more social. And for a while, the commitment with the poor and African problems were taking over my energies. And when I came to know the Comboni family, the fathers and sisters who were working together with youth in Spain, I felt that something clicked in my life, that both sides of my life, this social tension and also the religious inquietude within me, fit together. So when I knew the Comboni fathers and sisters in the meeting for young people, I really felt that this kind of life could be my life. Still, I had a lot of dreams. I was a teenager. I was finishing high school, so I wanted to study medicine and to go to Africa. But at the same time, I wanted to have a family, and I had a sort of boyfriend. And so life became very complicated making choices at that time. But I think that slowly they helped me to make like a personal journey of prayer and discernment. And there were two main ideas, like two voices coming very strongly to me, especially when I had to choose which kind of commitment I would like to have with Africa, with the poor, with the mission. And the words coming to me were always everything and forever. I didn't want to give to the mission a part of my life, my professional career, the first years of my marriage. It was clear to me that I wanted to give to the poor and to Jesus everything and forever. So it became closer and closer to the idea of consecration, and it helped me a lot to make choices in life. Mm. So when I finished high school, I had to choose between going to the university and joining the community. Actually, at that moment, the community preferred that I went to the university and grew up a bit and became more mature. But for me, it was clear enough at that time. So after a process of discernment together, they accepted me, and I'm happy that they did it.
Mm. Sometimes families these days have fewer and fewer children. And so how did your family take it that you wanted to go into religious life?
Well, as I told you before, I come from a traditional family, so we are six children. Mm-hmm. I am from the youngest part of the family. And I have to say that there were two different reactions. My parents are very religious, simple people. My father has also two sisters who are sisters in different communities. So for them, it was a joy, I have to say. And they just didn't like that I chose a missionary congregation. So I was supposed to go abroad from the very beginning, and they thought I was so young and it was dangerous, and they would rather prefer me in a local congregation like my aunties, working in schools or with the poor but close home. And, then my brothers and sisters, they are from another generation. They are not especially religious, and they are much more worried and concerned about social issues. They were telling me just the opposite. If you want to work with the poor, it's fine, but what do you need to be a sister? You can do it as a married person, you can be a single, you can do other things and keep your freedom and your money. And so there were different positions, but they have to say that they were very supportive, all of them. And I never had trouble in sharing with them my choices.
Hmm. Where were you sent first in your first mission away from home?
Well, I left Spain during the process of training at the very beginning of religious life. Much before starting the mission, I came to Italy for studies and in the process of formation or training. And then after my first vows, I was sent to a house of elder sisters in Erba at the north of Italy, to help the elder sisters. Then I went back to Spain for studies and ID nursing training. And then my missionary life started. At the beginning, I went to Dubai, and from Dubai to Egypt. I was in Egypt for 9 years, and it has been the most important part of my missionary life. And then from Egypt, I was sent to the Holy Land, and I have been in Jerusalem for 1.5 years now.
And so you were able to reconcile this spiritual calling with your interest and your passion also for medicine. Mm-hmm. How did the religious order help you achieve that?
I think it was a wonderful journey, process of discernment together. because actually, since I joined very young and I didn't have specific formation, professional formation, no training, I was given the chance to say my opinion or what I wanted to do, to become, and they have other opinions different from mine. So
why? What did they want from you?
Well, when I was still a novice, there were several proposals, and for them it was a good idea if I studied something like journalism, for instance, or mass media, something that could use social skills and communication. And it was very far from my intention. So we made the process of discernment together, and I said my opinion, that I think that in my life, in the same way that there is a call for religious life and for consecration, there is a call for taking care of, call it medicine or nursing or counseling. There are many different expressions, but the direction was very clear for me, and it is so easy for me to reconcile within myself these two aspects of my life, since I can do any other thing. I could do the journalist or any other kind of job, but then it became a profession. But my profession as a nurse is spontaneously part of my consecration. And I think they understood it very well, and I was allowed to study nursing. And it's quite curious that just in the last few months, few years, especially since I came to Jerusalem, these two aspects are coming together again, and I am called more and more often to talk here and there or to participate in some programs. And it's a bit funny that it is coming together again. But still, I feel that this part of my life as a nurse is an important part of my giving myself to others.
One of the things that I think that you have been seeking also, combining your spiritual life with your medical background, you've been also seeking ways to achieve justice in situations that are very, very serious in the Middle East in particular. How does that make you feel? What have you been able to accomplish as well?
Well, for me, it's just part of my vocation as a Comboni sister. We are Comboni sisters for the poor of the poorest. This is our expression, how we say it, to make a common cause, to share our lives with the poor. So also in my professional life as a nurse, seeking for those who have not access to medical care, for instance, is part of my consecration. And it has had different expressions in different moments of my life according to where I was. But in this moment in Jerusalem, for instance, it is translated in my commitment with Physicians for Human Rights. It's an Israeli organization, and it works for the right to health for everyone, especially in the cases in which it is threatened by the occupation. So we have mobile clinics reaching the most complicated areas in the West Bank. We have an open clinic in Tel Aviv for all those who don't have medical insurance or health insurance. So you have asylum seekers, refugees, migrant workers, clandestine Palestinians who live in Jerusalem or in Israel without papers, and also the poorest part of Israeli society, homeless, people in drugs, maybe. And at the same time, we work in Gaza, or we try to intervene in some situations, for instance, the permits to move freely within the West Bank or Gaza, and the access to medical care is threatened. So I find in this field a way of showing my love and allowing Jesus' love and Jesus' mercy to pass to all these populations and these peoples, both Israelis and Palestinians. And for me, it's a privilege working with both of them together. It is something that makes harmony in the around me.
How did you get from what would seem like a closed little life in a convent with maybe 12 other sisters there in Jerusalem to working with Physicians for Human Rights?
Well, I think my life has never been a closed life in a convent. Our life as Comboni sisters is a call to public life among the people, especially among the poorest. So it is spontaneous to look, wherever you are, to look around and say, where are the poor here? Who is serving the poor? Or who can I work with? In which way I can work with other people to improve the situation and to make Jesus present here? So when I arrived to Jerusalem, I did exactly the same. I tried to find who was working in this direction. Since I am a nurse, who is working maybe from the medical point of view on human rights, and on peacemaking, nonviolence process. So it was quite spontaneous. So we are not called to live in a little convent altogether. It's not our life.
You are one of a very, very small minority in the Holy Land right now. The Christians account for only, well, less than 2% of the mm-hmm. population. So you have mostly Muslims and you have the Jewish community there. How do people react to you as a Christian and also as a European Christian coming amongst them?
Well, I have to say that they have been very welcoming, to my surprise, because most of the doctors I work with, Israeli doctors, they had never seen a sister before. And it was a surprise.
And you don't wear a habit either.
So. Well, but they know. But it's different in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, there are so many sisters. So everyone has at least seen a sister in life. But it is not the same in Tel Aviv or in other places in Israel, where the presence of religious people is much more limited and really a minority. So I normally work with people who had never seen a sister before, and they are very curious to know what kind of choices and what kind of limitations for them, no? Because mm-hmm. for them our life is full of limitations in freedom and in mm-hmm. autonomy. And mm-hmm. But I have to say that they are very welcoming, and they came to appreciate a lot our life, maybe because they feel the commitment or the fact that we work without any personal interest in what we are doing, without making money out of it. Mm-hmm. I have done a beautiful experience both with Israelis and Palestinians. And for me, it's very important that our presence in the Holy Land makes bridges. The Holy Land is full of walls. It's not only one wall. It's full of walls and fear and lack of trust and many times lack of hope, especially for Christians, but I think for everyone there. So for me, it's very important that our presence is a presence of hope and making bridges among people.
I'd like to ask you two questions. What has brought you the most satisfaction from your work and spiritually as well? And what would you say to other young women who might be considering a life as a nun?
Well, I think that the first question maybe have a lot of answers at different levels. For me, coming to know so many wonderful people, both Israelis and Palestinians, coming to work with them together has been a great satisfaction. But there are many other personal, internal satisfactions in life. I think that living in Jerusalem is a wonderful thing, for instance. But if you go deeper in life, I think that having the deep sense of being loved, of acceptance, of mercy, of a positive glance on yourself and on your life, and feeling this deep, abiding love of God for you, I think this is the most rewarding experience you can have. So you can answer to this question at very different levels. What I will say to other young women or young men who may be thinking, I will tell them to listen deeply to their hearts and to what God is telling them in their hearts, and to have the courage to follow it. Because I think that everyone is called to happiness. And real happiness is really in the hands of God. So I will tell them to trust and to give themselves to let it go, the fear, the attachment to other things in life, just to trust to it, what they feel and go.
Does being a nun give you happiness?
Sure. I wouldn't be a nun if I had the sense that it is not my way, that I am not happy, that it is somehow tied for me. It is what I was trying to tell you before, that maybe the greatest satisfaction and reward in life is this deep sense of harmony and happiness. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Sometimes it must be so depressing to be there in the Holy Land, frustrating, because it seems like they make one step towards peace and then take two steps backwards the next day. Do you feel that you can somehow, in your little way, make a difference to bring about some sort of peace?
It's certainly frustrating. I wouldn't say depressing, but frustrating, surely. Not only for me, but for most of the people who are working in human rights, in peace building. I'm not sure I will be able to make a difference. But I think that as religious people in the Holy Land, as I was telling you before, we are called to make bridges, to make steps of peace. So I try to make my own steps, to do my part. And I hope that it will make a difference, at least for the people who is closer to me. And I trust that it will grow bigger and bigger. But whether it makes a difference or not, I think that we cannot avoid our responsibility in being a presence of peace and reconciliation in the Holy Land.